myself, of course, leading the delegation, officers from the Department of Primary Industry and Fisheries as well. We'll be meeting up while we're over there with, as we always do, the Australian embassy officials in the countries that we're visiting, ministerial meetings as well as some into the departments.
You don't only have the task of selling cattle and buffalo into these markets, you also have to sell the increased scrutiny that comes with monitoring the welfare of Australian animals. How do you do that?
Selling SCAS isn't that difficult. It's a matter of putting it on the line and just letting our markets know, the importers and the governments that we're dealing with, know that this is a very, very important component of having a live trade with the Northern Territory and Australia. If they don't comply, or if their importers don't comply, then there's a real risk that that market will be damaged and they may not be able to receive Australian cattle or buffalo.
What incentives are offered to these kind of markets?
The incentive to take Australian cattle, and particularly Northern Territory cattle, is our quality. We're clean, we're green, we've got excellent quality beef that comes out of the Northern Territory. We've been working on breeding programs to make sure that our particular product is suited to their palate and also their climate. And on top of that, we do work collaboratively with a lot of these countries to develop their own capacity and capability.
When it comes to specifications, are they similar to Indonesia, or will they take heavier out-of-spec animals?
All the markets are slightly different. Vietnam, for example, is taking heavier animals. They're not stuck to the 300 or 350 kilo weight limit like Indonesia. And the Philippines is they'll take other cattle as well, so they're not particularly stuck on a size. But the number we're sending in the Philippines now is smallish, I guess. I'd like to see that trade grow.
16,000, that is pretty small.
Yeah, look, it is. It's an old traditional market in the Philippines. It's a very price-sensitive market, and I know that with the Australian dollar having dropped as far as it has, recent demand has put pressure on prices upwards. And so, I need to just go back to the Philippines and send the message that the territory's here to work with them. They want to be close trading partners with them. But, of course, very excitingly this time, my first trip into Bangkok, into Thailand, and this is a brand new trade. Minister Barnaby Joyce opened this up with work that he'd done and established the live cattle health protocols for export from Australia into Thailand. I believe I'll be the first state minister to visit Thailand since that agreement was struck. And of course, I want to sell the Northern Territory as the best place to do business for our cattle, and I know that we've got high quality cattle here that we can sell them.
That agreement was only struck late last year, and cattle have only just started being fed into the supply chain in Thailand. Can you ensure that those supply chains are meeting SCAS standards?
Assurance around SCAS really lies with the Australian government and also Meat and Livestock Australia, who are, the monitoring agencies.
It's in your best interest, though, if you're trying to sell our cattle over there. It's your best interest to make
absolutely.
Sure it's going.
Absolutely. And look, that's why I go across and tell all of our trading partners about the importance of SCAS. They must understand that if there are breaches of SCAS, that there's a real possibility that Australian or Northern Territory cattle won't go into their markets. So it's in their best interest to make sure that they get SCAS right as well.
Just on Friday, we heard about the introduction of CCTV cameras into all feedlots and abattoirs in Vietnam. Is that kind of news a help or a hindrance when trying to get into those emerging markets like Thailand and the Philippines to take more cattle?
I think if CCTV cameras are going to be installed in some of the supply chain in Vietnam, that really sends a strong message both to Vietnam and our other trading partners that we're serious about SCAS. We need to make sure that everybody in that entire supply chain is as accountable as they possibly can be. We don't want to see breaches of SCAS. We certainly want it to be well regulated, but at the same time not overly onerous on those parts of the supply chain that are affected.
Barnaby Joyce is obviously also actively pursuing market opportunities. Do you work in conjunction with each other, or are these kind of separate efforts?
No, we're always working together. Minister Joyce and I speak regularly on the telephone, and I know our departments are constantly in touch, so we know what each department is up to and what each minister is up to. I see our efforts here in the Northern Territory as very much being complementary to the efforts of the Commonwealth, and I'm just really grateful that we've got such a dedicated and passionate federal minister in Barnaby Joyce who has the same ideals and has the same ideas about Northern export of cattle.
Can Northern Territory supply all the cattle that might just be needed of them?
Well, I think supply will ultimately take care of itself, whether it comes directly from the Northern Territory or through the Northern Territory from other states. My mission is to make sure that we've got a diversified range of markets. I never want to be in the position that we found ourselves in 2011 when the Federal Labor Government introduced the live cattle ban. We virtually had one market only, being Indonesia, that was a lesson learned there. I never want to put the Northern Territory in that position again. And I think with new markets in Cambodia now, also with Thailand developing, that we're going to have a much, much broader range of markets to sell our cattle in case there are some issues coming out of any one of our traditional markets.